Hey folks, Randy Newberg here with a bonus episode of Leupold's Hunt Talk Radio. A few weeks ago, we told you we're going to do a whole bunch of bonus episodes throughout the application season because we want people to hunt elk every year. And there is a way you can do that. I don't care where you live. You can hunt elk every year. And so we gave you the overview, I'd say 2 weeks ago or so. The Wyoming deadline is just a few days away, and I apologize that this one is coming to you later than I would have liked, but I've been in Arizona filming for 10 days, and I went right from there to the SHOT Show for 5 days, and then I got stuck filming 2 days of wild sheep conservation in Nevada, so I'm late in getting this to you. The Wyoming deadline is January 31st, and I'm lucky enough that here in Nevada, I've been able to impose on Brady Miller, who is one of the main research guys here at Go Hunt. And Go Hunt asked if I would do this series of bonus podcasts just to make sure people are aware of what the opportunities are and give at least some overviews to get people started. Even if you're new to it, or if you've been doing a long time, hopefully this overview and just brushing through the high spots for the next, I don't know, 30 to 40 minutes will give you some idea of what your opportunities are. So this one is going to be Wyoming, and then we're going to go to Arizona and Utah and so on down the line, as the Arizona one will get out a little bit sooner in front of the deadline than this one. But like always, this podcast is brought to you by Leupold, Leupold Optics, great supporters of all we do, of hunting, of shooting, of conservation. Hope you go to leupoldoptics.com and check them out. We have Orion Coolers. Go to orioncoolers.com, use promo code Randy, and get 20% off the purchase of an Orion Cooler. Then we have GoHunt.com, which is where I'm at right now. Go Hunt. If you use promo code Randy to sign up for the Insider, and I suspect after you hear this podcast, there's a really good chance you might see that this Insider service has a lot of value because we're going to touch on a lot of the things in there. So GoHunt.com, sign up for the Insider, use promo code Randy, and get $50 of free credit, mad money as I call it, in their gear shop. And then if you are buying things in their gear shop, use promo code Randy and get another 10% off anything other than optics. So when you check out, just put in promo code Randy and get 10% off all of your purchases, optics excluded. And then the last, but certainly not least, of this podcast sponsors is Onyx Maps. You saw last summer we did the huge scouting, e-scouting, 12 episodes on our YouTube channel of e-scouting for elk. Onyx is absolutely critical to everything we do when it comes to e-scouting, and they really are important to our application process also. We're using Onyx to look at things for every unit that we're considering. So go to onyxmaps.com, use promo code Randy, and they're going to give you 20% off all app products. So anything that is in the app part of their products, promo code Randy is going to get you 20% off at onyxmaps.com. So with that, I'm going to click the button here, and Brady Miller and I are going to sit down and go over serious details about the application strategies for Wyoming. And we're going to focus strictly on elk because we want you to hunt elk every year. So here we go. All right, folks, I told you that we have the world's foremost expert on everything related to drawing tags, researching how to draw tags, and explaining to the world how to draw tags. Is that a fair title, Brady?
Gosh, that might be a stretch. I think you were saying earlier, I have a lot of information that goes in my head and comes out because I'm moving on to other states, but I got a lot up here for you.
Well, I read your Wyoming strategy article, and unfortunately, I've been down in Arizona deer hunting and javelina hunting for 10 days. Then I've been at SHOT Show for the last 5 days. So we're a little bit late dropping this podcast related to the Wyoming applications for elk, because the whole thing for us this year is about, we want people to understand they can hunt elk every year. And Wyoming is one of those really critical pieces to that puzzle. So we're hoping that in this bonus, I call these bonus podcasts because they're not super long. They're mostly informational and telling people where they can get more information. Because if we were to dissect your entire strategy article for Wyoming, this would be a 12-hour podcast.
I think in written format, that article is about 42 pages long.
Yeah.
Once you get all the graphs and stuff in there too. So yeah, it's like a certain write novels, I think, I go on more than articles.
There you go. Is your background in training as a literary expert?
I mean, I have that biology background, so I've always been a guy who loves to write and research, and so this plays into it too. And then we have awesome guys like Trail who have that biology background too. So you talk to either one of us and you're going to get an earful on paper.
Yeah. Yeah. I ran into Trail at the SHOT Show, and I'm not going to tell people what we talked about because I said, Trail, I got these Utah General Deer points. And a guy was telling me to go to unit insert here. And Trail said, oh, he told you that, huh? I saw some pause in the response I got from Trail. I said, is the guy jerking my chain? And Trail pulls out his phone and starts showing me pictures. I'm like, so this guy isn't jerking my chain. And the bad part is the guy had been asking me some information, and I can't say I laid all my cards down. I didn't lead him astray, but now I feel like I got to go lay down a few more cards for that guy, given what he told me, because Trail confirmed that I was onto something there.
There's so many good gems out there in the West.
There are. That's your specialty. So Wyoming, what's your greatest gem in Wyoming? You don't have to give a unit. Is there some gem of what you think people are overlooking?
Maybe not overlooking, but it's more obtainable than I think people think it is.
Yeah.
Especially when you can, you know, you have friends who you can party up with and jump on their points and get back there again.
Yeah.
And then the biggest thing might be just, you know, those general tags where you can come back, you can go archer hunting, mm-hmm. have a ball, you might not tag out, your friend tags out, and you both could come back to help the one person who doesn't tag out on the rifle hunt.
Right. That's kind of what you did last year, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. You shot a bull on a general tag last year?
Yep. Shot my first bull ever on a general tag. Went archer hunting the full, there were 9 days. I got to full draw a bunch of times. Never panned out. Never released an arrow. Came back to rifle hunt. And honestly, after doing it now, that archer hunt is a gem. Like, rifle hunting was a lot harder than it was archer hunting.
Yeah.
Like, those bulls are definitely hunted hard. And
right.
I got a bull on the fifth day of the hunt with the rifle. So
okay.
First bull ever, my freezer is happily full. It was really, really fun time.
Cool. Well, folks, the reason we're dealing with Wyoming right now is because it's the first elk state out of the gate. I did my YouTube video on Wyoming on our YouTube channel. We dropped that, went live about a week ago, and I used your strategy article as kind of the outline of that, Brady. But even there, that video, I watched it before I came over here. It's 24 minutes long, and I feel like it just barely even touched on the important stuff. So
you need to make a movie-length video, and we need to make more books on the application stuff because it's getting too deep. It's a lot of information.
Yeah. Well, you guys came out with the new draw odds, or new, I'll call it stacked points this year in Wyoming, where anyone can see how many people were at what point level, which you can't, maybe it's out there somewhere hidden on the Wyoming Game and Fish website, but if it is, I've tore that website apart and I've never been able to find it.
Yeah, getting that information was huge to now know where you're going to be sitting and how many years it might take you to draw tags before you just, it was a draws percentage and that was really it.
Yeah. So that's a big helpful thing this year. I think folks need to understand the deadline is just a few days away, January
31st.
Yep. And when do we find out this year? February 21st?
Yeah, it's usually a quick wrap up in Wyoming. Yeah. Makes it nice.
Which is really nice. The other thing for a guy like me who applies for anything not anything, but I do bison and elk, deer, and antelope in Wyoming. That new 2.5% transaction fee is huge. It's going to eat into my pocketbook.
Especially people who apply for other family members, their sons, daughters, wives.
Yeah.
Like, it was in the article I think we put down, it's $32.07 extra for the special draw and $17.66 extra
for the regular draw. So for those listening, Wyoming for non-residents takes 60% of the tags and puts them in a regular draw, which is lower price. And then the other 40% go in what's called the special draw. And what's that price difference on elk? Oh, is it like $500 and some dollars or something like that?
It's a big substantial fee, actually. Yeah. Special license is $576 more than the regular.
$576 more.
On top of it, so. Ooh,
that means you really want to hunt elk bad if you're willing to pony up $576 additional dollars just for the better draw.
That's all the difference is, better draw odds.
Right. Once you draw, it's the same tag, whether you drew it in the regular or the special.
Yeah, but there is some cool things you can find out on our insider, you know, standalone draw odds page. There's actually some units that the draw odds are not better than the special. So you're just pointing up that extra money for no real reason. So it's good if you're going to do it to dive in there and compare them both to make sure you're not throwing extra cash away.
So our buddy Bo Beatty, who we rent llamas from, Bo's going to become more and more of our content. And so I called Bo and said, hey, you still on board for going to Wyoming elk hunting and having us film you and having us tag along? He's like, oh yeah. Well, the unit we settled on is exactly what you said. The regular odds are better than the random odds or the special odds.
Little nuance there and how to get that hidden gem.
So my only worry is that everyone's going to go out and see what unit that is. And now by me talking about it.
Luckily, there's enough of them.
Yeah. I hope I don't curse Bo or ruin his application by doing that. But so that's one of the parts. The other part, I think a lot of people focus that Wyoming is the, if you don't have the points, why bother? Well, still 25% of the tags go in a random draw. Mm-hmm.
So always have a chance.
Yeah. Everybody gets put into the preference point side of the draw. And if you don't draw, then your application moves over to the random part of that draw. The only downside is there are some units that are high demand that may not have a random tag.
Yeah. And we've kind of broken that out a little bit to easily see it on the insider draw odds section, because basically any of the hunt areas in Wyoming, if you look at them and they say 0% from 0 point level all the way through to where that preference point one is, you'll know there was no random tags given out there. Right. But any other ones that might say 1.4%, whatever that is, that means they actually allocated a random tag there. So that's something for people to look for.
Yeah. So we've got that deadline. We hopefully have explained to people that the first fork in the road is, am I going to apply in the special draw or am I going to go in the regular draw? And then managing points, that's one of the things your strategy articles do a really good job of explaining, is managing your points and I guess maybe even managing expectations to some degree. Because last year, I don't want you to divulge anything, but where you went and hunted archery season and then you came back for rifle, how many points did you have?
I actually, because it was a general tag, and so we applied with a bunch of people that had very little points. Mm-hmm. So I was max point holder just to help them. Because they all average out.
Right.
You have six people in applying a party, and they average out to the fourth decimal place. So we
put
it together. I had four.
Oh, so you brought them up.
I brought them up so we could actually draw. So
So now you're like, hey, buddy, remember last year when I donated all my points?
Yep.
You're going to donate a point to me.
But you don't need a lot of points. We just did that because we wanted to make more people draw. And nice thing about Wyoming, too, they will over-allocate tags on the party application. So if it was only three tags left and you had a party six, you actually all will get those tags. Where a lot of our states will throw your app out.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a very important thing for people to understand, is Wyoming's very generous to us as non-residents. I get a lot of people who say, Newberg, you need to hammer Wyoming because they don't let non-residents hunt the wilderness areas without an outfitter or unless you have a resident who's willing to serve as your guide. And I get that. But then I look at how generous they are with both elk, deer, and antelope allocations. all three of those species, they give non-residents way more than the normal 10% that most other states give. So,
yeah. Well put.
I get that people are upset about that, and I don't like it. Most of the Wyoming residents I know think it's a stupid rule, mm-hmm. but I also am very thankful for how generous Wyoming is to us, because I love going there.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the mix of quality elk, opportunity to get tags, and the amount of public land.
Yeah.
And the first two states that come up, Wyoming and Arizona, are probably the two states I think have found the sweetest spot with that.
Yeah, because honestly, looking back, because I went to school at University of Montana mm-hmm. for whenever it was. I lived there for 12 years. If I could do it over again, I think I would probably chose Wyoming as the college of choice, just based on the other hunting opportunities they had. Montana's great, but Wyoming, I think, is...
Yeah.
It's up there.
You would have went to Laramie and yeah. went to college? Yeah, well, I've been telling my wife how much walleye fishing there is in Wyoming, thinking she might think about that. But I'm probably in Montana to stay. But so we have that. And then some of the units have the type 1 tag, mm-hmm. type 2 tag, type 9 tag. And I give those three because those are usually the
antlered one, yep.
tags. The type, mm-hmm. 2, 4, and, or type 4 and 6 are
those
usually
antlerless
tags. So if there's a unit that has a type 1 or type 2 tag, but no type 9 tag, that means you can come to that unit and hunt in the archery season, which is always September 1st to the 30th.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you do that. If you don't have success, you can come back for whatever rifle season that you had of a type 1 or a type 2 rifle season.
Yep.
And then there's the units that are type 9, like in the bighorns. When I think of type 9 tags, I'm usually thinking of the bighorns.
Yeah, those archer-only tags. Yeah, most of the other ones, type 1, type 2, the rifle hunts.
Right.
Then you buy that archery stamp as an add-on, and you can hunt both of them.
Right. So I've hunted the bighorns. Let's see. I hunted the southern end of the bighorns one time, and that unit did not have a type 9 tag, so we could come and hunt archery and then come back for rifle. And then one time I hunted the northern end of the bighorns, and that unit did have a type 9 tag, and we only had the type 1 tag. So we couldn't come in archery season because mm-hmm. we didn't have the type 9 tag. So I'm sure the audience is completely stumped.
Yeah, and sometimes those type 2s do have a difference in boundaries. So you have to sometimes be careful of that too.
Yeah.
Maybe the only thing that might be different about it.
Yeah. But I guess what we're doing here, folks, is we're touching on the high spots. And if you really want way more detail, I can't overemphasize going and reading Brady's strategy articles. Brady and Trail, both of you guys work on those, right?
Yep.
So...
Yeah, because in there we do break it out really simple on a nice table. What's a type 1? What's a type 9? And give some description below it to make it a little less confusing. But yeah, it's a thing that a lot of people, I think, might be confused about because most states, don't deal with that.
Right. So archery stamp, what's that, like $15?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Mm-hmm.
So, and is Wyoming one of those states that requires the archery bow hunter education class?
That's a good question. I don't think... I know off the top of my head.
Right. I already have it.
Yeah.
So I don't even think about it. It's like, well, I have it. I carry it with me. So I don't know if Wyoming is...
If they're not, I know most of the states do it, where if you had an archery license in another state and you don't have one, that counts for it.
That'll suffice. Could be, yeah. Amount of public land in Wyoming. I mean, when I go into your filtering 2.0,
it's pretty endless.
Yeah, so
that's what's great about it.
It's kind of like Eastern Montana, Idaho, or Montana, Wyoming, and Colorado. In some respects, have a same general pattern of public versus private ownership. That when you start on the eastern boundary, it's mostly private, and by the time you get to the western boundary of all three of those states, it's mostly public, and it transitions there. So when I'm using your filtering system, I always say I want it to be at least 50% public land. And that gives me pretty much everything in Wyoming west of, pretty much west of the interstate. So not always, but But I'd say most of those, all those units, I think, are at least 50%. And Wyoming also has these walk-in hunting areas and hunter HMAs, hunter management areas. And especially in antelope season, I really take advantage of those walk-in hunting areas. It's
some of those real good gems are there again.
I shouldn't be saying all this stuff. But also in the strategy article, you have a list of units. Some of those units are listed by what a reasonable expectation is for, you know, a 300-inch bowl or whatever. Some of the general units you guys have broke down in a lot of detail. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of people who apply for general tags are calling you saying, yo, Brady, you lighten up on the intel here.
That's why a lot of times I try to call it right before. They actually are sorted by bull cow ratio, for example. So it's not right. always this is the best one on top and that's the least one on the thing. Right. So that's what's so cool about it. Like,
yeah.
If I could take what I want to do in some of these abstract articles with the data we have, we would be getting to that book strategy, because you can sort right away in filtering 2.0. You can say, I want 50% public land. I want sorted by all the highest bull cow ratio. So right away, you're going to get some of those units that are going to top on top that you might have the higher chance to see a bull, mm-hmm. the most public land. And then you can rank them in these tables like I do in the app strategy and trying to pick those little nuances off of them and show people that there are some good areas. We do give out some good info in there.
Oh, like that's the very first thing I read. And when I do my YouTube videos, I just use that as my template for every state, not just Wyoming. We've kind of done the gamut in Wyoming. We've hunted units where it's really easy to draw. We hunted a unit in the Wind River Range 2 years ago that was very easy to draw. I think even in the regular draw, it only took 1 point. In the special draw, with 0 points, it had like 60% draw odds. And I'm trying to figure out why that was, because it was a fun hunt. And Marcus shot a bull opening day. And we should have shot a second one that day, but we just had a mix-up between me and the camera guy. So I'm trying to think what's going on here. But then last year, so that was 2 years ago, last year in 18, my son, he was sitting on max points, and my uncle was three below max, I think, two below max. I can't remember. Anyhow, so they applied and they drew a unit that took a lot of points. So, and then I've hunted other units that take 3 to 4 points. So I've had plenty of opportunities to hunt in Wyoming, and one thing that's been common to all of them is Wyoming does a really good job of managing bull to cow ratios.
Yep.
It's I've hunted some states where the bull to cow ratios are maybe they're even below 10, but if they're above 10, they're not much above 10. Wyoming seems to be over that 20 mark, and in some cases maybe 30.
Yeah, even on that rifle hunt, we were seeing lots of bulls every single day. Obviously, we didn't get shots on them, but it was just like, it's a game-rich environment.
Yeah.
And they were all still, you know, on that public land thing we were talking about earlier. There's a lot of land in Wyoming to hunt, and all of it, from what I've seen, was really good. And if it's not, you can just keep jumping over ridges, more public land and more elk. And
Yeah. The other thing in the strategy article as it relates to Wyoming is you talk about grizzly bears. Mm-hmm. It's a reality of Western, especially Northwestern Wyoming, Southwest, not so much. And where I live in Montana, it's a reality also. If I go south of town, I know that I'm entering their territory. In Wyoming, one of the things you will see, at least in my experience, is the draw odds for units that have a prevalence of grizzly bears are much better than the draw odds in units who don't have grizzly bears. Would that be a...
Oh, that's a very accurate statement.
Yeah. And I get it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I didn't live around grizzly bears, I probably would have a high level of discomfort. And
it's an unnerving thought. I was having the back of your head at night.
Yeah. And the times that's probably the most unnerving for me, even having hunted amongst them for over 25 years, is when I have an elk hanging overnight that we've shot and I got to come back and get it. That's always when my head is on a swivel. And when I come back in, I'm carrying a shotgun. I always carry my shotgun when I come in like that. We hang them, hopefully, in it dies someplace where we can pack it to a spot that you can see from a little further away. That's kind of the biggest thing that I think helps us is you just, if I saw that, hey, that where we hung them, that's all messed up. Something's been there eating on it. I'm not going in there, even if I have a shotgun.
Yeah.
I'm calling the game and fish guy and saying, what do you want me to do about this? I just don't want the headache that comes with it. But if you're willing to deal with some of that, you're going to have way better draw odds.
Yeah. And you talk to a lot of people that do hunt in those areas. They're still not running into grizzly bears like, right. You know, left to right. There's still a small, small chance of running into one. But yeah, higher draw odds, get a hunt more. Mm-hmm. That could be a good option.
Yeah. So the general tag in Wyoming, for people who are wondering, I think it by statute, doesn't Wyoming have to issue some number? I think it's like 7,250 non-resident elk tags. Do I have that number?
I think it was in the app strategy written down somewhere, okay. But that does sound very familiar.
Yeah, and so if 4,000 tags get issued as limited entry tags to non-residents, by statute, the pool of general tags then has to make up that difference. Or in my example, 4,000 limited entry, that means 3,250 general tags. And those are the units that Wyoming residents can just go buy that tag over the counter, right?
Yep, they can pick it over the counter.
Yeah, whereas we as residents have to apply in the draw, and the code is GEN, the first three letters of general. And I've never hunted that hunt, so when you were talking about the fact that that's what you had and how many bulls you guys ran into,
it's unbelievable how many bulls we ran into. Like I was saying, like the archery hunt was phenomenal. One day, no joke, we got on probably 8 or 9 different bulls.
Holy
in one day.
Smokes.
And it's like the wind was swirling. There was too many elk around. Something got buggered up. We had another hunter next to us too. He was a really cool guy. But yeah, a lot of bulls.
Yeah.
And then I turned around and I hunted the same areas. I was hunting archery on the rifle. Mm-hmm. Saw bulls there. Ended up moving to a totally new spot. Mm. And yeah. Lots of action. It's a phenomenal tag.
Yeah. Were you guys on Forest Service or BLM?
Forest Service.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. A lot of Wyoming is BLM. And I've been out antelope hunting. I'm like, what is that bull doing out here? Yep. There's quite a few places that aren't Teton type rough in Wyoming that hold elk. Mm-hmm. And I think people drive by it saying, oh, this is antelope country.
You don't have to kill yourself, I don't think, to get an elk in Wyoming.
No, I would agree with that. So if someone had one, say 0 to 2 points, you have any input or comments without making any commitment that, oh, I can guarantee you this, but in the strategy article, you kind of break it out. Okay.
They should definitely throw their name into that general, the general pool of things. Because even if you don't allocate it with the points, you always have that random chance you're going to draw a tag.
Right.
You couple that with applying with some friends who might have points and just go for the general. Because I think you're still going to find really good elk, lots of numbers of elk on the general tag compared to some of those more limited quota type hunts. Like,
yeah.
We're just saying there's a lot of bulls. And we saw a lot of, for guys like antlers, we saw a lot of big bulls.
Really? Cool.
Yeah.
So if I remember right, last year, doesn't necessarily mean what it's going to be this year, but even in the random draw for the regular price, the general tag was like 15 or...
It was 14%.
14? Yeah. Okay.
And special was 29%.
Whoa, so that's...
Yep.
29%, that's really good odds to draw a great tag with 0 points.
Mm-hmm. And I think I will mention too, the past 2 years, and talking about preference points, there's been a 26% increase in the people who are... You know, buying points in Wyoming.
Whoa.
Yeah. And just between the last year, it was a 13% increase.
Huh.
So we're talking about a lot more people are starting to apply in Wyoming, starting to figure it out. So I think, yes, if you haven't applied in Wyoming yet, you should start jumping on it.
So are you saying we should just shut up and not, maybe we shouldn't distribute this for our own selfish reasons? Yeah, maybe we shouldn't distribute this podcast.
The one good thing that Trail brought up to me, that in the past 13 years in Wyoming, the amount of $50 per point for the elk has equaled almost $17 million to the state of Wyoming.
So, and only us non-residents are doing that.
Doing the
so
point
that,
thing.
Just for points, just that's for points. An extra $17 million to their agency.
Because in 2018, there was 338,000 points.
338,000. The elk or elk, deer, and animal?
That's elk. Elk preference points only.
Oh, I got you. Not 338,000 people, but total pool of points.
Total pool of points, yeah.
Gotcha. So you multiply everyone. Somewhere along the way, $50 got paid for every one of those 300-some thousand points.
Yep.
Wow, that's a lot of money. I've been a donor to that.
I definitely have as well.
But I love Wyoming. It's a great place. And I think when you're on one of the podcasts we did earlier, you and Trail and me, we talked about short-term strategies, long-term strategies, mid-term strategies. I think Wyoming could be any of the above.
It's any of the above. Oh, yeah.
Just decide what
can
do.
Fit in your schedule, what season dates you like, in the fact you can go back twice.
Yeah.
If you can have an open season and you can, plan it out, you can draw stuff with that random chance every single year, or it might take you to every other year, but you're hunting Wyoming a lot.
Yeah.
In the big scheme of things.
Yeah. So how far is it for you to drive from here in Las Vegas?
Las Vegas, roughly, you can be in parts of Wyoming in 10 hours.
I can be there in 3.
See, you got a little leg up on me right now.
But the point is, for a lot of people in the Midwest, Wyoming is as close or possibly closer than Colorado.
I think some people in the Midwest might be closer than we are in Las Vegas too.
Yeah.
To drive to Wyoming.
Yeah. So if you're living in the upper Midwest, especially, I think Wyoming should be on your list. And so one of the things that'll be interesting to see this year with the 2.5% transaction fee, will a lot of people look at Wyoming and say, you know what? I don't think I'm 2 points behind the unit I want. I don't want to pay this big transaction fee of whatever it might be, $17 or $30. So I'm just going to buy a point when the point period comes. Because this year, I went and did my application.
That's that big little change you had, didn't you?
Yeah. Between the 2.5% fee, and then normally I buy my point. I used to check the box that said, if unsuccessful, give me a point. Well, that's not an option anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm worried. Randy, don't be sleeping here come July 1st when they open the point purchase period. So that'll be July, August, September, and does it go
right through the end of October?
Through the end of October. So that 4-month period, you have to go and get your point. Whether you applied or didn't apply, if you want a point for 2020, you better not be falling asleep. So I wonder how many people will look at the odds and say, I'm 2 years out. I don't want to incur this kind of just throwing money out in the transaction fee. I'll just save that money and use it towards buying my $50 elk point.
And then we'll see point creep keep going up and up too.
I know. That's, point creep. I'm a point creep. I'm creepy about points. But so if somebody had 0 to 2 points, you'd say kind of the general tag certainly be on someone's radar if going elk hunting this year was on their target. If someone had, say, 4 to 6 points, any specific areas? For me, that's where I start looking at the bighorns, that part of the state.
I'm certainly in a lot of those, maybe some of the type nines that might be a little better. Mm-hmm. And then I'm starting to think, to me, I was kind of hoping to save a bunch of my points for a late rifle hunt in Wyoming. Mm-hmm. They have a couple of really good ones in there.
Yeah.
And there's just so many options in Wyoming with those points. That's what's, I want to build more points up quicker now because it's I have so many things I want to do in Wyoming, but it's still at the same time, it's obtainable. So I can still apply next year and possibly draw it again. But
yeah, well, my son had maximum points and it wasn't that he was holding out for anything superb. It just between going to grad school and then his job and work and over the period of time, it just didn't fit his calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the opposite. I hope I never have more than two or three points in Wyoming. I can't, I'm trying to think. Well, 1 year I got up to 5 points and I burned those. Well, there was a time, some of these units that I've hunted, I could draw with 1 point.
Yeah.
And then it jumped up. In 1 year, there's this unit I've hunted three times. It jumped from 1 point to 4 points the next year to 6 points the next year. So I've kind of given up that I'll ever get to hunt that again because I'll never have 6 points again.
And having a lot of points and drawing some of these units does not guarantee a better hunt by any means. It might mean less competition in the field because the numbers of hunters are limited.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't know if it's any real advantage. Maybe, you know, quality of animals, maybe in certain spots. But for the most part, anything is really good.
Yeah, I've just for the amount of fun, the amount of meat, and the possibility of getting a very nice bull. I think if you went and hunted every other year on a general or a lower point unit, your odds of eventually getting a really good elk might be just as good as holding your points forever and taking your one crack at it in one of the late November hunts around Cody or whatever. Because what if you don't, you draw this late migration hunt and you don't get any snow?
Exactly. And then let's say that was your only time you're ever applying for an elk hunt. So you weren't hunting elk in another state at the same time. You didn't have the elk hunting experience.
Yeah.
And then you draw a really light, nice elk tag and you don't really hunt elk.
Yeah. So for me, Wyoming will never be a part of my long-term plan. It'll always be part of my short-term or mid-term plan. Yep. And so I hope that gives people a good enough overview of Wyoming. You write these articles every year. So if I
highly encourage people to dive in there and read it word for word.
Like, yeah.
There's a lot of good things you could skim through. I try to add a lot of like button calls at the top so you can jump down on certain sections if you just want to know, okay, talk about the point breakdown. Like we just said before, what to do is 0 to 2, 6 to 9 max points. But like there is things you can learn throughout that whole thing. And then even jumping over to our, what we call the state profiles, there's even more information on there, deep diving into like the Wyoming regulations. You know, there's a lot of stuff to learn.
Yeah. And then for people who are interested in the likelihood that I'll find a great big one, you guys have the charts of which counties have had the most Boone and Crockett entries, which, you know, I don't think that many people are that worked up about it, but I tell people for every Boone and Crockett entry, there's probably a dozen bulls that were close to that and probably 50 bulls that were still really, really nice bulls for every one of those you see in the record book.
Yep. And
so
the fun part about that is what I started to do, because I always did the tables, the Boone and Crockett tables, and now I've started to do that Boone and Crockett heat map.
Yeah.
I created the heat map based on the Boone Crockett entries. Now you can see the big picture on the map, like, okay, where all the big bulls are. And if you look at it, I won't say it right now, but you can see this little spot that it's bright red where all the big bulls are taken in Wyoming. So
yeah.
And then you just got to dive in there, overlay the units from our filtering maps, and got a good start.
Yeah. And for me, I look at them, one, out of curiosity, but two, I just know that, I'm never going to shoot a Boone and Crockett anything probably. But that tells me there's probably a really good age class structure there, which is what is more important to me than, you know, having to shoot the biggest bull on the mountain. Don't get me wrong. If the biggest bull on the mountain is standing there, I'm going to have a big smile and I'm going to try to shoot him. But, so anything else you think that we're missing other than, I don't think I've covered my list, and my list is going to wrap up with, making the call to action that people should really go to the insider, sign up, get $50 of mad money in your gear shop you got, right? Brady just gave me a tour of the new gear shop, folks. You could easily spend way more than $50 in there.
I had to watch out in case you had sticky fingers as you're walking through, because you're picking up a lot of stuff and looking at it.
I was. I'm like, ooh, look at this. But to get that $50 store credit, you got to use promo code Randy. I admire how much time you put into these, Brady. Your mind must just be able to focus intensely to get that amount of work done on a topic like this and put it into words.
It's a fun process. It really is. And then to hear feedback from people and see when people do comment on it, like they do enjoy it. And they're like, generally, like, when's the next one coming out? They just like are getting addicted to it. It's like what I like to see. It's like you're starting to have the same mindset I do. Like it's addicting to write them. It's addicting to read them and then to learn that information. Like even for Trail and I to write these, like each year, it's still, we still learn things.
Yeah.
We still learn so much stuff and we deal with these, this data all the time. Like,
yeah. Do you guys have a connection at each of the state agencies of, hey, it's Brady. I need some clarification here.
Yeah. We definitely call quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, don't tell who those people are. You don't want to let out your contacts and have the whole world calling them then.
Yeah, they're great, great groups.
Yeah. So, well, thanks for doing that, folks. These strategy articles are available by becoming a member of the Insider. And remember, January 31st, just a few days from now, is the deadline. Is it 5 o'clock? Is it midnight?
Midnight. 11, I think it's 11:59. That's what I always try to tell people. Like, don't wait that last couple seconds. Like,
yeah, don't wait because
websites can fail.
They get
flushed with a bunch of users and they go really slow, and then your application's gonna load.
Yeah. Every year, there's some state whose server crashes the last couple days as everyone is like, oh, I got to go get this done. I got to go get this done. It's like, don't be that person who waits until the last minute.
Yeah, some states will push their deadlines back when that happens, but yeah, I wouldn't bank on that. No, do not do that.
No, do not count on that. So you going to apply this year? Or are you buying a point?
I'm just going to buy a point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get other points you're burning somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, let's see if your state will be friendly to me this year, finally.
Really?
They
better be.
Gosh, I got a lot of points there when I was a resident, and now they're not worth much being non-resident.
Right, that's right. Yeah. Huh. Well, I've only got 1 point because I drew in 2017. I didn't draw in 18, so obviously I've just got the 1 point. And what I did is I went to the draw odds, and I said I got 1 point, and I just looked at what has the best random odds. Because that's really what I'm in for. My calendar doesn't fit for September because I'm already really booked in September. So I got to look at those October, November hunts and know that I'm going to be there rifle hunting. Mm-hmm. If I could do September, if my calendar fit September, I'd just do the general. So I know if I don't draw this year, next year my September calendar is wide open. I'm just doing general next year. But I say that's my strategy because I want people to understand that even though I only have 1 point, I know I'm not going to draw in the 75% preference point draw, but I'm going to get thrown over into the random, and I'm just saying, what is my best chance? Because any of these units are going to be fun hunts.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll be going. Well, if I'm lucky.
I'd rather hunt more than sit there and build points, too.
Oh, yeah.
Points don't taste good.
No, and when you get to be my age, you start thinking, well, what if I... You know, what if my health failed me and I couldn't go hunt as much as I do now? But I'd kick myself for having this whole gunny sack full of points. So
I think there's be something to be said too about having elk in your freezer, because since this year I took up that bull and I took a cow elk in Nevada, I've acquired a lot more friends. They ran like, oh, you have elk now instead of mule deer in your freezer. Now they all want to come talk to me and hang out.
Imagine that, huh? Yeah. Well, and for people who are traveling from wherever, that is one thing Wyoming has, is they do have those lower price tags. They have cow calf tags. A lot of times I talk to people who come from Indiana or wherever it might be, Michigan, and one person might have a bull tag and someone else might say, look, I'm coming on the lower price option and I'm putting meat in the freezer. And
we have those antlerless cow odds now too, which is really great for those people who just want to fill the freezer.
I keep forgetting that you guys have those antlerless odds on the Insider. Cool.
So guys looking just to fill freezer meat or just want to come along and help someone else out, like that's a good option to look into.
Yeah, and the success rates on cows are really, really high. Mm-hmm. I was looking in your strategy article. The overall success rate in Wyoming is some crazy number.
Wasn't it 27 or 35% average? That's like a 15-year average, too.
Right. That's
very
really
high
for, I mean, you look at Colorado or Idaho or Montana. Our our success rates are maybe half of what Wyoming's is.
I think it was a general harvest percent. I was looking at there that it might have been 43% averaged across a bunch of units.
That's crazy. That's
it's like you start looking at that like, whoa.
Yeah, sign me up. Well, thanks, Brady. I really appreciate it. I hope I can stick around and beg you to do the same thing for Arizona, because that's the next state on the calendar. And we'll at least give people enough to marinate on that. Hopefully they decide, hey, I got to go get the whole steak.
Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff out there right now for elk. So it was fun.
Yeah. Really, well, thanks, Brady. Thank you. Appreciate it. Folks, thanks for listening. Stay tuned, because we're going to be dropping a lot of these bonus podcasts during application season. These aren't very long, and we're putting them in between our bi-weekly releases of our regular podcast. So I hope you appreciate them. I hope you enjoy them. And it's because of the folks at Go Hunt that we're able to do these extra bonus podcasts. Thanks for listening.